and said, no hablas español. And everybody goes, boo. And I said, yo hablo chingazos. And that means I speak with my fists. And so everybody rose up and started going crazy. And like the whole crowd was like, ah. And then the guy runs over and just fucking clocks me, dude. And I fall down. I get back up. I start beating on him. Like I'm not even hitting him hard. But then that was it. That was everybody's excuse. And then the whole crowd just floods over and just starts kicking the shit out of this guy.
All right, what up, you little sausages? Look, Steven's here. He just told me the craziest story off air, but he's filled with stories. So the reason why he's on the podcast, I texted Abby. I said, hey, I need someone. We need someone on the podcast. We want crazy stories because we've had influences, but they're all kind of wishy-washy. You know, we suck.
Boring.
We right. suck. No, we suck. No. We're literally all too worried about what we're going to say and whatnot. And what was the sentence? My boy used to go on Mexican Jerry Springer and fight people.
Yeah.
And I was like, say less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is that about? How did you do that?
Okay. So yeah, it's a little backstory to get there. Yeah, I didn't just come out of the womb fighting on Mexican television, but I, you know.
Hold on. Is it the same Jerry? Is the same dude, same Jerry Springer? Does he just speak Spanish?
No. Good question. And he should do that. Honestly, everybody should be bilingual and just do their thing in another.
He would crush it.
100%. But well, a guy took his place in the Spanish world called Jose Luis.
Great name.
Sin Censura, without censors. Same character.
That's his full name.
Yeah. The show Jose Luis Sin Censura. So it's like Jerry Springer without censors.
Before you continue, I want to clarify something. People outside of LA, like if you say like Mexican Jerry Springer, they'll be like, oh, that's racist. I'm like, no, we mean Mexican.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like sometimes people will say like, oh, are you just using a blanket term for like all Latino
people? No, every single
person
in the crowd beside me was Mexican.
I'm literally speaking specifically the country of Mexico.
Yeah, not Ecuador or El Salvador.
I'm not calling everybody Mexican. I'm talking about this specifically the country. I just want to clarify.
Yeah, we're what, 150 miles from the Mexican border. So Spanish-speaking show is a Mexican show.
Yeah.
You know, it's Spanish, but it's not in Spain.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, not in South America. It's broadcast everywhere, though.
Wow.
So I'm started with Oxycontin, then got into heroin, started shooting heroin, started doing coke and heroin. So I'm just a fucking mess.
That's a crazy combo.
Crazy combo.
Yeah.
And I was.
Do you have to do an order, coke or heroin first? What comes first?
You know, it's so funny because I would.
Don't do either, but yeah.
No, don't do either. It ended up being a miserable, miserable life. You know, like it. High highs and low low, crying in your car, about to put a gun in your mouth, but then winning the lottery. You either have like, you're in two emotions.
Right.
Best feeling ever, or you just want to die.
Wow.
But yeah, good question. I would, because I remember Belushi died from speedballs, I was like, I'm going to shoot the heroin and snort the coke, and then I'll be fine. And that's what I did.
Mm.
I shot the heroin and snorted the coke.
Wow.
But sometimes I like knock out, and I was doing real estate at the time. I was doing commercial real estate.
Like hustle.
It was a lot.
I'd say most realtors do speedballs, actually.
They do something.
They have to.
Adderall.
I was good at it because I didn't care, but I was breaking and snapping inside. I was like, I was in a suit and tie selling warehouses. I would wait till I would go in the warehouse. So like selling like supermarkets because it was like commercial, right? So there'd be an empty Whole Foods that we'd be selling or leasing. And I would go in there, just me. I would shoot up. I'd fall face down on the ground right before people were coming to the tour. And like, I would wake up and people would be knocking on the door to come do the property tour. And I would do blow and wake up. So I was in that time of my life.
Wow. That's kind of like a crazy game to be like, I wonder if I'm going to like be good enough for them to like come through the tour. But
that was part of the high.
You kind of want to get like caught.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to fucking just play Russian roulette every day with everything.
Wow, it must have been interesting to like walk through a warehouse and the real estate agent is like fucking running through it.
I would like sleep with girls like during. I would like bring girls in and like hook up and they'd be like, all right, they're coming. Like it was a different me, you know. I'm married now. I love my wife. I have a beautiful daughter. I was in that period of my life and the same. I would also wear the same karate gi and started going to Jose Luis. But I was at home after work, like super suicidal and bummed out. My cousin calls me. My cousin's a whole podcast. If he ever wants the podcast, he shut down LAX with some bullshit. But he's going to write a book one day.
Like okay, he almost, no spoilers.
Yeah, he was a baggage handler.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah, he's a legend. He's a legend.
Hold on, what happened?
Baggage handlers used to just steal everything from everybody.
Yeah, there's a longer story. He would be a great guest if he's willing to talk about it. And he said, he told me one day he's willing to talk about it. But I guess allegedly he was, he got caught taking stuff from LAX. Just watch your shit at LAX. When you go through and you have your stuff in bags, like, yeah, watch your shit.
I knew a guy from New York at JFK that he said he was, him and his friends were making like hundreds of thousands of dollars a month back in the day.
You just grab it. What are you going to do? Yeah. When you're in an airport,
yeah,
you're at their beck and call. You're, yeah, like, oh, okay, look, yeah, at, take your shoes off. Okay, do this.
I went through the airport one time and I had, actually this was like recently, I was coming from Austin. For whatever reason, I had a lot of cash on me. I had like $8,000 in cash. And I went through, but I had it in my pocket. And the lady's like, no, you got to put that in the tray and send it through. I'm like, I'm not doing that. This is not leaving my hand.
Wow.
Yeah, she's like, no, you got to put it in the tray. I'm like, I'm not leaving it. I'm like, get your supervisor. I'm not leaving it. They're trying to steal it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's fucking, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because what can you do? Especially if you have drugs, if you have, sorry, I don't know, what are you looking for? Your Vicodin pills? Like, or, you know what I mean? If you had anything illegal, you just grab it.
Like, that's not the bags that go under the fucking, under the plane. The ones that are like, go through the go, check.
Yeah, yeah. I never thought the of it. Check, yeah, in. Going through the check-in.
Yeah.
Wow, dude. Fuck.
Because, I mean, if they have your bag for 20 minutes, what are you going to do? Hey, sir, stand right there. Are you getting crazy? Sir, it's like you're... You have no power.
Yeah, I wonder why they took my fucking knife off me.
Well, it's also behind. It's once it goes on the belt and goes into the back area, no one can see what's going on. They can just open everything up.
Okay, so if stuff legally gets, if you have a knife, if you have a cool lighter that you got from Singapore, and they're like, can't anything that you have that's illegal, they say that can't come on the plane. Give it to me. Well, that goes into an eBay auction from LAX. They don't tell you about that. So
really?
A lot of times,
bargain on shit like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so a lot of times the workers will be like, well, I'm not going to just kick this up. I'll just take this. So, you know, my cousin had all kinds of light, every kind of lighter you want, every kind of everything you want that you can't be on a plane with. That's nice.
Wow.
Nice flask or a nice whatever.
It's a good side hustle.
It's crazy.
Work at the airport.
It's a crazy thing. So it's a whole world.
How did you get from shooting up heroin, speed runs through warehouses and whatnot to Mexican Jerry Springer?
So that cousin called me,
yeah,
and he said, hey, what are you doing? And we hadn't talked in a long time. We're both on our own roads of destruction.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I'm just fucking at home getting high. He goes, dude, turn on this Channel 52 or whatever it was. And I go, why? He goes, dude, I'm on a Mexican talk show. And I go, what? And I turn it on, and it's my cousin fighting all these dudes. And he goes, dude, that's me, dude. It's in Burbank. They film it in Burbank. It's so fucking fun. You have to go. And he and I went to a Catholic school. We both got kicked out. And we were both really bad kids.
Yeah.
And we both had fun, though. We were both like kind of like we just got in a lot of trouble. But then drugs kind of robbed that. So I wasn't like everybody's always like, oh, I want to party with you. It's like it was just me solo doing weird shit, you know? So yeah. I was kind of in a sad time. For him to call me, I was like, oh, it kind of reignited like this old playful time. And he goes, bro, this is the most fun I've had since high school. You got to go on the show. And he goes, I have to warn you, though, they really fucking fight. It's not some bullshit thing. You're throwing punches. You're kicking the shit out of each other. And I said, okay.
Sick.
So he goes, it's in Burbank. It's at Lieberman Broadcasting. Call them up and get tickets and say you want to go on and then just hop onto the stage and start beating the shit out of everybody and they'll fight you back. And so, you know, you met me.
This doesn't sound real. This is, yeah, crazy.
You could Google it. There's like best of clips. It's absolute insanity. Absolute insanity.
Does this still happen today?
I don't know. I'm friends with Jose Luis.
Fucking go.
So a Spanish meme page posted me telling this story doing stand-up, and then Jose Luis put it on. Did you see it the other day?
No.
Jose Luis, this was only like, it's so weird, this happened so long ago. A month ago, if you go to Jose Luis Sensura's Instagram, he put it on his Instagram. And he's like, Karate Kid, what's up, dude? Good to talk to you. And he's sharing all my stuff.
Whoa,
and like, we're buddies
that's
now.
So sick.
We're buddies now. Yeah, so you can go to his thing.
Dude, imagine Harry Giausi on Mexican TV.
Bro, I would love
shit
to do that.
People.
So Jose Luis is very available, and he's a cool guy, and he's always down for some crazy shit. So like, I want to... Once I've accomplished my goals in America, I definitely want to go down to Mexico and be on their television. I think their prank shows are superior. I think I just love the Mexican sense of humor and the Spanish sense of humor. But
wow.
So my cousin goes, you got to go on this. So I'm living at my dad's house. I'm doing real estate, but I'm doing okay, but I'm spending it all on heroin every day. My habit was crazy. So I was just living at my dad's. So I'd wear a karate suit every day. I did jujitsu for a free trial for like 2 weeks, and then I just kept the jujitsu gi, and I would just wear it all day. So as soon as I came out of my suit and tie, I would just do drugs and wear this jujitsu gi.
Sick.
Yeah, it was just like some weird cokehead shit. It's awesome. You know? And I would just walk around popping off to people and just wear a karate gi, white belt. Just a white belt, but you know, it was like I was a, you know, I was
like, literally sounds like a movie.
Yeah, free trial guy, like just like, you know, but I was just like, thought, I don't know, like I would wear it to like just all kinds of events. All kinds of events. That video I was telling you about, and I don't know if you guys are, I don't want to disrespect your podcast by talking about another podcast. I don't know your rules.
No, but yeah, we don't give a fuck.
So I talked about this on Tom Segura's podcast, and so yeah, because of going to those Bukkakes and stuff, I was like banned from Upright Citizens Brigade, this theater out here, and because I showed the video, I shot a video there of me in the karate gi, like doing all kinds of crazy shit. But so my cousin goes, "You just have to go," and he goes, "But be prepared, it's a real fight, and it's all gangsters, and they're just looking to fight." And I said, "Perfect, I'm fucking down," because I was like suicidal, and I was looking for trouble. Like I'd buy heroin downtown. And I had these Roman candles from Tijuana, and I would buy the heroin, and I would just go out of my car and shoot them at the drug dealers. I was just like on this like falling down. Did I ever tell you that? Like, yeah. I would just shoot. I would just be like, fuck you. Like, I hated them for like killing me, but then I would be back the next day. Like, it was like Apocalypse Now. It didn't matter. It was everybody. Life expectancy down was 3 years for everybody, pretty much, fuck. You know?
Jesus Christ.
So he goes, you got to go to this show. So like there, so I'm trying to think. So, okay. So I get a bunch of coke, get my heroin, get an eight ball. I put on my karate gi and I'm like, I'm going to stand out. So I'm going to wear like a karate suit. I had like orange hair at the time or like bleached hair. I go in my car and I do like so much coke, like too much, where I'm like, oh fuck, because I was nervous to go on the show and I was like, I want to do like racks of lines, and I get nervous. I see that it's in a parking lot in Burbank and there's all these gangsters in this parking lot. I'm like, I bet you everybody's over there pre-gaming. So I just popped out, like the coke hit me and I was just like, fuck it, let's go, let's fight. The worst thing I could do here is be a pussy. I'm just gonna go all out, because I was like the only white boy there, you know. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I jump into the parking lot. And right away, they're like, what's up, Karate Kid? What's up, Karate Kid? And they're all like teasing me, all these gangsters. And I said, what's up, guys? And they said, what you here to do, Karate Kid? And I said, Karate Kid's here to fight. And they said, oh, orale, all right, which means like cool in Spanish. And I was like, do you have my back? And they're like, dude, if as long as you get in there and throw a couple punches, we'll get your back. So,
wow.
Is this too crazy?
No, this is awesome. Amazing.
Yeah. So then I get lost in my stories. I'm like, bro, do I sound like an insane person? You know, like, no, because I just came from like nursing my child. Like I'm in a different world, you know?
Right.
So I show up, I'm all fucked up. And now I've got all these gangsters that are like, all you have to do is just throw one punch.
And it's game on.
We all got your back. So I walk in, there's one metal detector. Two metal detectors. Then everybody has to sign a waiver. And I read it. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And it's like, if you get hurt, killed during the show, you can't sue Jose Luis. And I was like, because my cousin's a tough guy. My cousin's like 6'4", badass, like loves to fight, or did. And he was like, dude, it's real. Like, motherfuckers are beating the shit out of each other. So I'm sure your fans will probably Google the show and take a look at it. So we go through a couple metal detectors. I sign a waiver, and I'm like, fuck, dude. And I look back, and it's all just gangsters just fucking ready. I'm like, okay. And I'm the only white person on the show in the audience, and I'm wearing a karate suit. So it's just like I'm just going to be fucking –
you're the target.
I'm the target. I know it. But I'm like down for it, because at that time, I was about to cap myself. Like I was like – I wasn't scared of like dying. You know, it's crazy. So we get into the show. And they sit me right in front, and they start the like opening shot right on my face, right? So I'm sitting in the front row, and they have like, it's a live studio audience show, like just like Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
So there's all these big monitors, and they have the camera on me, and I'm like grinding like this, and coke is pouring out of my nose, and I look up, and I see myself on this jumbotron in this studio of like 200 people, and I'm like. Like just doing this, staring at myself, being like, "What the? How did I get here in life?" Wow. You know, it's like this out of body experience where I'm like, "I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm fucking doing this."
Wow, wow.
So then the show starts. There's naked women. It's chaos. It's a variety crazy show. So they have the first guy come out, and supposedly he cheated on his wife or whatever, because everybody starts booing this guy.
Can you, do you understand Spanish at this point? Or you're just like sitting there just like waiting to just punch someone?
I know enough Spanish, un poquito. I know enough Spanish to know like that's the bad guy in this show.
Right. Wow, because I was going to say, if I went there, I'd be like, fuck, I got no idea.
But you would, your spidey senses, you'd be like, I have to figure out what's going on here quickly. Right, like, right. Oh.
If I was watching the show, I'd kind of get a vibe.
You'd
for
be
it.
Like, we're all mad at that guy.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
someone comes guys boo, so everybody just starts booing, you know. Yeah, or like wow. you'll say fuera, there's like certain things fuera means go. There's I watched an episode, so I kind of saw what was going on.
Yeah
Just like Jerry Springer, you got the cheater, everybody hates him, then the like ex-fiance or whatever comes out, and
yeah.
they fight and then everybody in the audience is allowed to fight. You're just it's a free-for-all. It turns into a fucking Royal Rumble for real.
Holy how many is it, like 20 security guards?
There was a guy named Oso, I think, which is like bear and whatever bear in Spanish is. There's this really big security guard and like two other guys. But they didn't stop it soon enough. I mean, guys were just getting fucked up.
So in the crowd, you guys are just sitting there, and then you're just allowed to run on stage and fuck people time. Up.
So how did your first fight start?
So,
yeah.
So, okay. So I'm sitting in front and everybody boos this guy. And the guy looks out to talk shit, and he just locks eyes with me. Because I'm the only white boy, and I'm wearing a karate gi. And he's like, what did he say? He's like, he started talking shit to me, right? And I was like, oh, shit. And he's like, no hablas español. And everybody goes, boo. And I know enough Spanish, you know, he doesn't speak Spanish. And everybody's like, boo. And I turn around, and everybody starts booing me. The whole crowd's booing me now, but I'm fucking coked out of my mind. I'm just like, it's like being on this podcast, except for coke and fight. You're just like, bring it, you know? Come on. It's like a fucking sick ass Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, you know? Just like, like let's go. Like, fucking, where's it coming from, dude? I hate myself, you know? Like, you know, I love myself today. Thank you to my higher power. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, but I'm true. I do. I'm starting to like myself. I'm okay.
That's good.
I'm not a bad guy. So I say this. The guy goes, no hablas español, and everybody boos me. So I was like, dude, I got to think of something fast. So I jumped up on stage, grabbed the microphone from him, and said, no hablas español. And everybody goes, boo. And I said, yo hablo chingazos. And that means I speak with my fists. And so everybody rose up and started going crazy. and the whole crowd was like, ah. And then the guy runs over and just fucking clocks me, dude. And I fall down. I get back up. I start beating on him. Like, I'm not even hitting him hard. But then that was it. That was everybody's excuse. And then the whole crowd just floods over and just starts kicking the shit out of this guy. So then everybody starts chanting Karate Kid. And then during commercial break, they're like, do you want to start coming in our audience regularly and starting shit off?
Bro, your skin looks good.
You know what? The only thing I've been doing.
What's that?
Is that I have a routine now.
Tell me about this routine.
We've been using Curology, and as you can see here.
Same company that makes square chapstick, so if you drop it, it doesn't roll away?
You wouldn't believe it, but it is. It is exactly the smartest chapstick in the game. Look, it's not even rolling anywhere.
What else does Curology do?
Look, ladies and gentlemen, Curology is a game-changing custom skincare made for you by a dermatology provider. They'll create a custom prescription cream for your specific goals, whether that's tackling acne, clogged pores, skin texture, dark spots, fine lines, or something else. You start by taking a short online quiz, uploading photos, and if it's a good fit, they'll ship you your formula right to your door. It even has your name on the bottle. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think there's so many hucksters in this world, you need to talk to a licensed dermatology provider.
Get help from the best in the biz.
Yeah, real deal. Look good. And hot as fuck.
The best thing about like waking up in the morning, having your routine, you just know you're taking 10 steps ahead to look so much younger. Like, look, Abby's 49.
Yeah, I'm 49. I start my day with a win. Every day I start it with a win with my skincare routine.
It's just, there's, you can't go wrong. It's made for you. You have your step-by-step routine, so you don't feel overwhelmed. You don't feel fucking stressed out. Curology's got you covered. So get started with Curology, just like I did, with a free 30-day trial at Curology.com/tap in. Just pay $5 for shipping and handling. That's Curology.com/tap in to start your free 30-day trial. Cancel anytime. Prescription subject to consultation.
So I would like always, because it was like right near my dad's house. I was living in the Valley. It was in Burbank. So I would do real estate, but I started having knots on my head. And then I guess I was in one of the trailers. Because they had like a trailer. So I started bringing my friends, my ex-football player friends from like our Catholic high school. I'm like, dude, are you guys bored? Do you want to come? They're like, fuck yeah. So I just, there'd be like four crazy dudes in front. And so we were all just fighting constantly. I have knots on my head. And then we all collectively realized at the same time, because I'd be filling up my gas tank during the middle of the day, high, but like functionally high just to sell real estate and stuff. And people would be like, hey, what's up, puto? Boom, and start fighting me. And I'm like, dude. Like Spanish,
like people would recognize you and try to fight you on the street.
But I didn't put two and two together until later, because you know when you do shit when you're fucked up. I'm just getting bombed on at gas stations. Guys are like, "Hey, puto, boom!" And I'm like, "Bro, what is it? My energy?" But then I realized, like, oh, like, because in my mind, I'm like, "Oh, I'm just on the show." Yeah, it's like doing a podcast. To me, it was like the equivalent of doing a podcast and going home. Dude, yeah. Like, but this was going out to all the Spanish speakers in Los Angeles, in Southern California, in Arizona, in Central America. So it has a wide reach. And so I was getting recognized as Karate Kid. People were like, Karate Kid. So I started going on there all the time and fighting. I quit the real estate job because I knew the axe was coming, and I got a job on at this restaurant called Mi Piace in Pasadena. Mm. So I was just like all knotted up, and I was like, I got to stop fighting on this show. And so I'm like trying to turn my life around, like right before I went to rehab, and I was serving at this restaurant, and the bartender was Hispanic, and he just didn't like me. And I was relying on his drinks. And like I was like putting the drinks in. Mine wouldn't come. I don't know what I said or did something to disrespect him, but he just didn't like my style. And so he fucked with me. I was like, hey, man. I was like, hey, dude, my drinks are coming. What the fuck? You're fucking my livelihood. And so we got in a huge argument. So every time I put in a drink, he would just fuck me. And then one day all my drinks started coming in first ahead of the tickets. He was all shy around me. And I was like, what's up, dude? And I'm like, I've been around the block. So I'm like, this guy's like going to he's being nice to me because he's going to fuck me up in the parking lot. You know, I was like always paranoid about everything. And so all my drinks were coming up and he was like acting all like shy in front of me. And then I was in the kitchen and I was like, what, dude? And he goes, do you fight karate? And I go, what? And he goes, Jose Luis. And I go, that's me. And he goes, I knew it. And then I became best friends with the guy, which is like totally cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I fought on that show for a very long time.
Were they paying you to fight?
No. You did this. No, and I do it again. You know,
do it again.
If they asked me today with a wife and a kid.
Yeah.
If they said, Steven, come down for one last, dude, I'll bring you. And it's all love. Like, it's like.
I'm kind of a pussy, though. I don't know if I'd want to fight.
He wrestled in high school. He keeps that, too.
He boxes as well.
He keeps that secret. I brought him down to my jiu-jitsu school, and he's fucking grabbing me around the neck, throwing me down. I'm like, he's like, oh, I wrestled in high school. I'm like,
no, he's just horny. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He does that to me in the hallway. It's kind of crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, get out. I'll go over here. Yeah.
He's got a bottle of lube. I'm like, what is going on here?
Get over here, buddy. A priest at our school. God. St. Francis High School. Used to wrestle everybody.
And finish that sentence.
He grabbed his dick. It was right before. I was in summer school with this guy. And it started the whole priest thing on the Tom Likas show. Someone called in from my high school. I guess Father Chris was his name. And he would wrestle you. And I went to summer school before I went to ninth grade. And this one older, like, cool senior was like, hey, man, this is the coolest priest. If he wrestles you, if you would get in trouble, and if you grab his dick, you don't have to go to Saturday school. But if he gets yours, you got to go. And I remember that, you know, whenever I was in seventh, eighth grade, I'd be like, that's not cool. Like, I don't want to do that with Father Chris. Like, you know, and he's like, oh, man, he's the best. Dude, he's been doing this for 20 years here. And then he just disappeared one day. You know, like they do is they just put you to another school, so it's not like they're just like, oh, we'll just go over to this parish, you know, and do it over there. So then it came out on a radio show with this guy, Father Chris, the wrestling, and everybody called. He used to do that to me, so that was like one of the first cases in Southern California to explode.
Holy shit. Fuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a good wrestler. He would turn purple. He'd be in a monk.
I'm sure his cock would as well.
Dude, it was... Just watching this dude dressed like a Franciscan, you know, in a Franciscan monk, turning purple while some senior's choking him and being like... This is supposed to be cool. This isn't cool. It's kinky, but it's not cool.
Wow. Yeah,
it's fucking weird. It's not so right.
this is a long question.
Yeah.
And how did you get from fighting on Jose Luis to being a dad a new dad that's like has your shit together.
Yeah, pitching shows and stuff. It's a big jump.
It was a long. So I'm older. You guys are 20s, 30s.
I'm 31.
I'm 45. Is why you know, like, I'm no bullshit. How old are you?
45.
Are you really?
No.
Oh, I was like, Jesus, bro, are you drinking blood? You know, like, what the fuck, dude? No, I just got horny. I'm 24. Right now. I was like, fuck, dude, I'm not gay. It's hot. I'm hot about that, dude. Youth, you know? yummy. I'm just kidding.
How did you get?
So it's been a long road. It's been a long road. I'm 41. Mm. So. Like, that's why, you know, Abby, I'm kind of like no bullshit. I don't kick it a lot because I feel like I froze myself for a decade. I fucked off and was just doing weird shit for a decade. Mm. And now I unthawed at like 28, got out of rehab like 30, 29, 30. And so I've been like on the grind ever since. But I feel like I'm 10 years behind. I'm just starting to catch up and I'm glad of where I'm at. But rehab, dude, I went to rehab and I worked a 12-step program that changed my whole life.
Really?
Changed my fucking life.
When did you know that you, obviously looking back, you could tell you had a crazy fucking problem, but at what point were you just like, yo, I gotta fucking figure this out? Like,
they were doing interventions on me. The first time I ever did stand up was at this, it was called like Unurban Cafe or somewhere. It was in Santa Monica. I think that's what it's called. I passed by there. It's like on 33rd Street. But my friend goes, dude, I heard that a friend was doing stand up comedy. So I was 27, I was shooting up, and I was like falling asleep everywhere. Mm. And he goes, hey, come to this open mic. And I went and I told a story and I did really well. I didn't like think about it. I was just high and I just went and I did really well. And then I rented out a room in like in Pasadena, and that where I'm from. And I was like, I'm doing stand up now. Well, like a lot of people had heard I was doing really bad on heroin, but this was everybody's chance to come see what the fuck I've been up to. Cause they were hearing stories about me getting in trouble. Like I was always getting in trouble. So everybody came to this event. So I just packed this room. I wasn't even good at stand up, but I packed this room and I showed the Bukkake another video on the wall on a bed sheet. I had this whole like crazy show planned, and I fell asleep while I was performing, if you want to call it that, and I kept hitting the mic and it would wake up and go boom, and I would wake back up and I would fall asleep. It's on tape. I've never watched it. I don't have the balls to watch it still. I won't watch it. But after that there was an intervention at my house the next morning, and I thought everybody was just hating on me for going after my dreams.
So you legitimately took that as like, yeah, you guys are fucking...
Oh, I was like, fuck you. You're like, I try to do something great and you pull me down. So, you know, I was just like, I thought that.
Wow.
So after a couple more of those, my mom was like, we found this place. Would you want to go? And I was like, yeah, no. And then I just was like, I just had this gut feeling. I was watching the Christian channel, fucking doing coke, crying, calling in hotlines, Christian hotlines, being like, dude, I was like at the end of my ropes, dude. And I finally got this opportunity to go to rehab, and I went and it was cold turkey. They just give you an Advil and a cigarette and they fucking put you in a room. And so they put you in a room for a week, and there's a whole rehab, but this is like, it's kind of like half the people there were let directly out of prison and the other half were in there from their own volition, and it wasn't like a nice rehab. Like
you have like roommates and shit?
Like 100 roommates. There's like, it's like cool, the movie Cool Hand Luke. There's like 10 bunks in a room.
Damn.
So like 20 people.
And everyone's coming clean.
And you're like a bunch of like psychos.
Fuck.
50% of the people just got released. Arnold Schwarzenegger. So this was like in...
He was there?
2000. No, so in 2000. He's the governor.
Holy shit.
No. He didn't.
I was like, whoa. No.
But he had this thing called SASCA where he goes, you know what? Yeah. People aren't all bad in prison. A lot of this is drug problems. Let's give them a second chance. So there's a SASCA program where all of a sudden all these people with drug charges who had been locked up for 15, 20 years were now getting released. So they're getting released in the same house, and it was the craziest time in my life in this rehab. It was just this crazy half prison. So guys were getting out doing 20 years. They hadn't seen a tree in 20 years, and they're like going crazy. I'm detoxing, going crazy. I could write a book on just that experience.
Obviously, how long are you doing heroin and coke for?
Probably about, well, coke from like 95, not every day, but coke from like 95 to 2008, and I started doing opiates. It went from, dude, I just got my wisdom teeth pulled. Vicodin, 98.
Wow.
And then I was doing Vicodin every day. I was like, this is great. And then my friend was like, well, dude, you know one of these Oxycontin is like 16 Vicodin in one. And I was like, wow. And he's like, and there's no Advil, so it's even better. And so I started doing that. Once I did that, I was in. So that was like, that probably happened when I was working for this magazine called Big Brother Magazine, which is like the start of Jackass. It was like came from this magazine. And so that was in like 2000. So 2000, 2008.
For and both. Then, okay, so you're doing obviously that's pretty like heavy drugs for a while.
Oh, yeah.
What, like, when your first week in rehab, what the fuck is going on in your head?
Bro,
can you remember it?
I remember. So I've always been a shit talker. You've seen like the tail end of that. Like I have a problem with my mouth and it's like, I talk a lot of shit and I'm really working on it. It's just a defense mechanism. And I it's a problem and I've gotten a lot better, but I used to just constantly talk shit. So in a baseball game, I started a huge fight during this high school baseball game. Everybody got in trouble except for me. And the coach was like, Steven's never going to stop talking shit. That's why I'm not even getting him in trouble. And he pulled me aside. He's like, someday someone's going to fuck you up and you're going to stop talking shit. And I was like, nope, never happened. I talk shit about a buddy's girlfriend. I have scars all over my face. Like, he busted my fucking eye open. And I seriously thought, I was like, oh, I'm going to stop talking shit now. And the next day I was like, fuck you, and just start talking shit. It was just like this in me. And wow. So all these people had told me, you're going to get checked. The first night, the second night in rehab, because I didn't sleep for like 8 days. So
fuck, you just don't sleep.
That's the craziest part. Because it was cold turkey. They weren't giving me like something to like sleep and something to do. So you're like
rocking,
kicking. That's why they call it kicking here. Because I was just your legs just like feel like loaded springs and there's ants crawling through them. And you're just it's the worst feeling I've ever. It's horrible. And then everything that you've been suppressing is now coming out. So all your insecurities that, like, I didn't go through childhood and high school like processing things, getting rejected, getting this. I was always high, so I was like, she doesn't like me, who cares? Or I didn't make this team, who cares?
Because you're just high as fuck.
I was high as fuck. Yeah. So then all of a sudden you take away that, you got this horrible body thing going on, and then everything you've ever repressed is now like just like jokers, just laughing in your face. And that first night, I thought about all the people that told me one day my karma would come. And I wouldn't be, you know, everybody's like, you're going to stop. And I was like, it was drugs and alcohol. Like, it wasn't a person that was going to fuck me up. And I was like, I didn't have a smart ass thing to say. I just started crying. And the guy that I was on a bunk with had just been released from prison. He was a hitman in a prison gang.
Holy shit.
Very polite. Very nice guy. Very polite. Killed a bunch of people. He's probably back in jail doing the same thing. Had no remorse and couldn't believe he was out. He was like, I can't believe I'm out of jail. I go, and he was proud of it. He's like, what? He goes, I'm with this gang. And I go, oh, yeah, cool. And he goes, I'm the hitman of the gang. That's what I do. I just want you to know who you're bunking with. Let's just keep it classy. Or he said something. He was very funny. And there's no problems. Because what am I going to have a problem with that guy?
Right.
Very neat, clean.
Yeah.
Mm. You just didn't argue with him. But he wasn't a dick.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I think it's a little hot in here. And everybody, so I didn't know, because everybody bullshits when they're getting sober. And even like the guys from prison, but every single guy that would get released from all the different gangs, whether it was a African American gang, a Hispanic gang, Asian gang, they'd all look at this guy and go, oh, and they would laugh and he would laugh back. And I'd be like, what? They're like, dude, he's a killer. We're all killers. That happened to be the guy that was on my bunk.
Whoa. I couldn't imagine coming down off like heroin and coke and shit. And then just they're like, hey, you bunked up with this dude who like murders people.
It's so crazy that it's almost like... What else is there? Like, you know what I mean? It was just like I'm like in this place. It was crazy. I actually snuck out. That's a whole other story. I snuck out and did heroin in downtown Santa Ana. I stuffed my bed to look like a person with this other guy, and I did heroin all night. I got caught when I came back, and they were like, "You're kicked out of rehab." And I was like, "Oh my god!" I just broke down, and they let me back in. I haven't told you. There's so many stories. Probably have to come back.
Again, so you ever try and jerk off while you're in that bed?
That I
above
did
above him
12 times a day, and he told me he'd kill me if I jerked off again. He caught me jerking off.
Really?
Yeah. I guess there's the rules. I never figured out what they were, but I was jerking off too hard because that's the only thing I had left to do. And he pulled out a knife. He's like, "I'll fucking stab you if you keep jerking off."
Holy fuck!
But I wasn't trying to be inappropriate. I just didn't know what else to do. But. Yeah, so that was a really wild time.
Shit.
This guy comes in, this surfer from Huntington Beach comes in. So once you're in that little box of a room, then you get graduated out to the 20-person room or whatever it was. Like I don't remember if there was like 5 to 10 bunks. So you got a lot of people packed in this room. Everybody's withdrawing. Half are prison. I mean, literally prison guards would come up or whoever and just release people to this place. And so this kid comes in. and he's in the bunk next to me, and he just got weird energy, and he's from, I know he's from Huntington Beach, and I just didn't know. I know his name is Mike, and he's from Huntington Beach, and all of a sudden, one of the nights, so everybody's kind of sleeping, it's like 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, everybody's kind of sleeping, the Spanish station on the alarm goes off, and just mariachi music playing, right? And everybody gets off to turn off the alarm, and what I didn't know it was him at the time, but what this mystery person had done is booby trapped the entire room with fishing line. So everybody was jumping off their beds, getting caught in fishing line. There was fishing line all like spider webs. So everybody's getting caught in this fishing line. So all these gangsters were like, "Who the fuck is doing this?" And they're getting out of the fishing line and they're screaming and fucking like, "Whoever is doing this, I'm gonna kill you." And I was like, "Dude, what is going on?" And so it kept happening night after night. And finally, one day in group, the guy was like, "Hey, you want to go salsa dancing tonight?" And I was like, "This is the motherfucker who's been booby trapping the room." And I became friends with him, and all hell broke loose after that. Like, he and I just fucking soberly went crazy in this rehab and just played practical jokes and had a blast.
Oh my God, I thought you were about to say that, like, yeah, he got killed.
No, no,
that's what I was waiting for. Like, oh yeah, we rolled over one day and he was like fucking bleeding out. Like, he was a good guy.
Yeah, he was good. He's still sober. He's sober to this day. I know.
Oh wow.
My heart was racing.
Yeah. He would do this fucked up thing where he goes, "You want to sneak out?" So you're just cooped up in this house. He goes, "You want to sneak out and do tap taps?" And we would, he goes, "You take a quarter, you take the fishing line." So he found some fishing line. You could do it with fishing line or black string. And we would go into these neighborhoods at like 2 a.m, just weirdo shit. And you tape the quarter to people's window. And then you tape the fishing line to the quarter. And then you go way, way across the street, And then you just go like this and it taps on the fucking window. So people come out and they're like, "What the fuck is going on at 2 a.m? And then you just stay, you just hide. And people don't know what's going on. And you just keep doing them systematically for like two. People come out with guns, with fucking butcher knives in their box. "I'll fucking kill you." And then this one guy caught us and we almost got in big trouble.
Holy yeah.
But we
fuck.
I had fun. So long answer is I got sober and everything started to work out after that.
Hell yeah.
Were you hallucinating anything when you were coming off?
Like, yeah. I thought I was seeing things all over the room. It was because I wasn't sleeping. I didn't sleep for days.
What was there a point where you were just like, "Oh fuck, thank God I'm over this now. Like, I'm done." Like,
there's that one night where you sleep like 6 hours and it's the best feeling I've ever had in my life.
Wow. And then that point forward, you're just like, "Cool, like this is leave my system."
Yeah, you have like what's called post-acute withdrawal. I think it's called sub-acute or post-acute withdrawal for the next 18 months where you'll feel like weird things, but you almost don't even notice it, or you'll get a fucked up night's sleep. But there's that hump where you're like, "I'm sleeping again." You're like, I'm sleeping again. But you see all these guys that are junkies on the street. The reason why they're just, it's so hellish to get off of it. So you see people that are constantly all knotted out. They're not even wanting to party. Like, that's what my mom, everybody's like, "Dude, you just want to have fun all the time." I'm like, "Dude, if I don't do this, like, the consequences are just facing every insane fear you've been running from for the last 20 years, plus your nervous system flipping inside out."
Fuck, dude.
And once you do face it, it kind of is like, now with like shit that happens, I'm like, "Bro, I'm fucking chiseled." We do stand up all the time. You're bombing in front of 400 people. I feel like my nerve endings, like, there's always, life could always open up and hit you. But like, it gave me a sense of self-worth, like, yeah, recovering and stuff and standing up to it finally and surrendering. Like, I didn't do anything. I was just like, I lay down my sword. I cannot stop. And I surrendered and did everything. Like, right. Do a 12-step program. I did the 12.
You did all the 12 steps. You
all the 12
cleared
steps.
It out.
Wow.
Commitments. I was like, when I got out, I had a male breast surgery, which that's a whole other podcast thing.
A male breast surgery?
Because that was my biggest secret. Every addict has one or two secrets that they're running from. That's
you
my
had
whole,
titties?
I got titties during puberty. It's called a gynecomastia. Gynecomastia. So that made me really funny.
Damn.
Really tough. So I had that going on underneath all the Mexican fighting shows, all the crazy stuff. Like, that was always there. It was haunting me. And I always wanted to perform, but I'm like, how can I ever perform with tits? Someone just be like, "Hey, nice titties." It would just crumble your set.
Wow.
So I went and got a surgery to get those after. A very wise counselor was like, "You're running from something." And I was like, "No, I'm not." And she's like, "There's just one or two secrets. So once you disclose those," and I was like, it just floored me. And I shared that with somebody.
Yeah.
I finally shared it. And then I Googled, "I have tits." And that's a really long story. But I got a male breast reduction surgery. They popped them out, and then I wasn't working the 12 steps yet. And I thought, okay, well that's that. And
that's
I literally, it's a whole long story, but I got a dominatrix call girl right after like 5 hours after surgery, and did speedballs with her. And then she thought I was a cop because I wouldn't take off my shirt because I was wearing a compression garment. And then I had tubes of blood coming out. And so she put a dog collar around me. She was like whipping me, and she's like, I'm ordering you to take off your shirt. And I was all coked out, and I just had surgery, but I just ran out because I was so high from the surgery meds. And I started crying to her, and I told her everything. I told her everything, everything. And I was like, she was like, take off your shirt, you're a cop, you're wearing a wire. And I was like, I had male breast surgery, and started weeping. And she was dressed like RoboCop, so she left the room. She came back in Disney pajamas, dude. And just this Russian dominatrix prostitute came back in like Disney pajamas and just sat and listened. I go, please don't kick me out. I just need to tell you everything. And I told her everything. That was May 31st, 2008.
Whoa.
There's a longer story than that, like with that.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's like,
man,
you gotta tell somebody at like the start, right?
It started with her. It was her. I told her everything. I used my hour to just confess everything, and I was like jacked up. And then after that, my mom and my sister, everybody was livid because here I am out of rehab. I just had this surgery, and they knew. I confessed to my family, and then I just left. I was at my dad's house. I was like, hey, I have to go get something. And I went and scored some drugs and did them. And then my first thought was, oh, I'm going to, you know, go have sex. And it was like, I was out of surgery, man. You're not supposed to even, if you have like nose surgery, you're not supposed to walk around afterwards. It's really, that's really dangerous to do.
That's fucking crazy. Did you ever relapse after?
No, not after May 31st. Thank you, God. So what I did is I told this woman everything. I went to my grandma's in Pasadena, so they were blowing me up because I just disappeared after surgery. And I told this lady, I felt the weight lift off my shoulders. And I told this lady, I was like, thank you so much. I've got to go to my grandma's house. My mom and everybody's texting me to go to my grandma's house. She goes, you can't go to your grandmother's house like this, because I was all fucked up. I was like, no, it's going to be okay. So I raced over to my grandmother's. I was off Tampa Boulevard on the 101, so way in the valley. I think about it when I passed by there, and I went all the way to Pasadena. And I open up the door, and my sister, for whatever reason, put a jalapeno in my mouth. I just walked in the door, and she goes, here. And I just, she put a chili pepper in my mouth, and I took a bite of it. And my nose started pouring cocaine. And I was like, fuck, dude. And I started wiping it, and I go, and my mom's like, what is that all over your nose? And I was like, they were just done with my shit, you know?
Yeah.
And my sister goes, oh, I just gave him a jalapeno. My nose is runny, too. And my mom just looked, and she didn't say anything. And so I hung out with them for 5-10 minutes. There's this guy that was sponsoring me in the 12-step program, but I would always, like, once it got to the point, there's a step 4 where you kind of divulge all your secrets. I would always find a way to just piece off of this guy. So I called this guy's named Claudio. I called him. He's like, meet me at this meeting near this 12-step meeting near the Burbank airport. So I met him. He's like, we don't even have to go into the fucking meeting. Like, just tell me everything, dude. Like, what's the deal? And I go, no, I'm ready. That's why I want to do this. And I repeated what I told the call girl.
Mm.
And then I was like, dude, I think it's done. Like, I think something just lifted off my shoulders. And he's like, okay, well, that was a 4-step. Meet me for the remaining steps. You'll read out of this book. And everything else out of that was pretty much just like filling out sheets and being like, yeah, I harmed this person. How can I make it right? And do that. But after that admission to her and admission to him, save for like a brief few moments, like every once in a while, I'd be like, oh, that'd be nice to have a beer at a Dodger game. But it was lifted from me. Like, I could see it right here, and it doesn't have an effect. I don't want to do it.
Wow, man.
It was being honest. And it was like, that was my biggest secret. And there was a couple others that were just more personal, but like, I had tits. So it's like, I was like, everybody's like, just tell your secrets. So I was like, 27 years old.
I didn't know you had tits until just now. And I've known
you didn't know that? You didn't know that story?
I've known you for, what, 8 years now?
You didn't know that story?
I had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't talk about it much.
Yeah.
But it was called, you can Google it, it's called a gynecomastia, but you get it from steroids a lot. You can get it from pot or puberty. Mine was from puberty.
Like, I've seen dudes with roids that have, like, big, crazy nipples, but this was like...
It was nipples. It was like a golf ball under my nipples.
Wow.
And I just got... I went to an all-boys... Catholic high school, and you could just imagine.
They're mad sensitive as well, yeah?
Very. And people would pinch them. It would shiver your body. Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, I remember going through puberty, and you have like little rocks under your nipples.
So a lot of guys get that.
Yeah.
Mine didn't go away, and it just kept multiplying
for
2 years.
That's insane.
Yeah. That was what it was, and then it just didn't go away, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden, like, the fucked up thing, you know, I'm cool with my mom and dad now and stuff like that. But, you know, I just had a daughter, and if, like, she had a weird ear, like, dude, she wouldn't even know. It would, we would just go get that fixed. So shout out to your fans, or not shout out, but, you know, PSA, if there's something, if you don't like your nose, if you don't like your left toe, dude, we live in a beautiful time to be alive. You can go, you don't have to tell anybody. You could say you're going on vacation to Europe for a year and go get whatever you want fixed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You also like, accept life. Yourself and love yourself too.
No, yeah. That. But if you got, if everybody's like, hey, big ears, or hey, big nose, and you're like, you can get it fixed, and it's not that expensive. You can go get it done.
Yeah,
and it changed my life.
How did your family like stick around you through all the bullshit? Like, I know it's a bit of a big question, but like, I can imagine if I was a parent and like years and then fighting and shit like that, like that would wear me pretty thin.
I could cry just thinking, like, no, it's okay. My daughter's a month and a half.
Yeah.
And my wife is an addict in recovery, and so am I. So there's a decent chance she's got everybody on her side, you know, and I've got it on my side. So, you know, I'm just thinking about my daughter. I don't even know, dude. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at my little baby, and I'm like, I'm just thinking, like, if she dates a guy I don't want, or a girl that I don't like, I, you know. Yeah, it's, I don't know, but yeah. I would fall over into walls. Like I was like, just, you know, just falling over all the time.
Yeah.
I was on heroin. Yeah. It was bad. It caused them a lot of harm. And, you know, I think the best thing I could do today is just to remain and stay sober and to be available and be cool. It'd be
nice. That's awesome. And you have a great relationship with them now?
Yeah. It's good.
Sick, dude.
Yeah. And then my brother got sober.
Oh, wow. Is it a genetic thing? Like, is there
a
genetic component to it?
Yeah, so there's a genetic component.
If you're an alcoholic, it's like a mind, body, and spirit, right? So if you have the body and then your mind, it's like you have a spiritual abnormality plus your stomach, the way it reacts to alcohol. It's like this euphoric feeling more than other people get it. It's like a much stronger feeling.
Agreed.
And then mind, body, and spirit. And then your mind is just, if your general thinking's off, you know what I mean? If you're neglecting your brain, if you're consuming bad stuff, like all three of those things combine, and the addiction can become really bad.
You have to stay on it even in sobriety, because just because I'm sober, Abby,
I'm open sober about too. It.
Yeah, you're open. I don't know. I don't, you know if you tell everybody, but just because we're not drinking and using, that thing is still. So I took a puff of a cigar the other day.
Two weeks ago. Sorry to catch you up, but a lot of people think like alcohol is the solution to your problem. You know what I mean?
So
like alcoholics are using that to cover up a feeling. So when you remove the alcohol, that's when the personal work on yourself like just starts. That's just the beginning. Yeah.
So a lot of times you'll see somebody and they'll be like, hey, Steve, thank you so much for your help. You've been talking to me over the years, because you get the calls, you get the DMs, probably from this podcast. I'll get DMs like, hey, man, I've been struggling with. So then a common thing that people will do, and I did this too, is, hey, man, I got 2 weeks off. Dude, I'm lifting weights now. I feel awesome. Thank you so much. Well, hey, are you doing like any kind of therapy or 12-step? Because there's a reason you're getting blacked out for 5 years. That's not just there's something going on. And inevitably, 99 out of 100 times, if you don't jump on that and address that, whether it's 12-step therapy, talking to someone about what's going on, you're just going to go back. That's just what happens. So you have to – it's just the entry point. So once you stop all that, that's when your brain really starts racing.
Wow.
And so if I were to stop now, you get hints, because like it's – God permitting, in 2 weeks I'll have 14 years, and that's a lot. But I just
– fuck.
I took a puff of a cigar 2 weeks ago with my brother. He's like, hey, man, I got some badass cigars. I took a puff. I was smoking a cigar when you texted me writing jokes to be on the podcast. I've smoked a cigar every day for 2 weeks. I know where all the cigar shops are by my house. My wife, I have a newborn baby. She's like, dude, you smell like cigars. This isn't who I married. Like, you're smoking cigars now. And I'm like, I'm smoking cigars now. Wow. So I'm smoking, it's not a lot, but I'm smoking a cigar a day after I never smoke cigars. Maybe one, you know.
Do you like the taste of just?
Just the drug in it. It just was like, ooh, I want more of that. That felt good. That was kind of a rush with my coffee. And now I'm having a cigar every day, and I'm patiently waiting to go have a cigar. So I get reminders that, you know, there's worse things I could do, but it's like that little thing's still in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Jesus Christ, man. That's wild.
Wild, yeah. This is crazy.
Crazy. So yeah, I don't talk about the breast thing, but I think so. I've talked about it on one other podcast, I think, and in three gentlemen got the surgery after that were DMing me, and I was like, go, and they went and did it. Life changed, dude. So if you're listening to that, you got tits, and you know what's so funny? I get sober. I have the surgery. It healed over. Still look a little weird, but they it's people will say stuff if I do shirtless stuff. They'll be like, oh, that nipple's kind of off, you know. But I don't care anymore because at least they're flat.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I went to there's this club. It's closed now, but the spot other than the Comedy Store was for stand up, but like the super spot was the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it was in like East Hollywood, Los Feliz, and everybody went there. Everybody, you'd see a show there, and 6 months later it'd be a television show, and this was the spot. So I was like, okay, like my chest is flat.
Yeah,
I start going to before I did Improv 101. I was gonna sign up for Improv 101. I said I wanted to see one of these shows, and dude, heavy hitters. Fuck, these guys did an opening monologue, and this guy had a gynecomastia, and he had a really thin, like, vintage shirt on. And I was like, I can't believe this guy's going on stage with just utter confidence, you know? And I had seen this guy on a billboard for Comedy Central, and he went out and he did his monologue, and he picked on someone in the front row, and this cocky son of a bitch in the front row, I'll never forget, he ripped on him. And the guy goes, yeah, but you have tits. The entire place erupted into laughter. That was the first show I saw since I was watching. I go, no
your biggest way. Fear.
Dude, it doesn't stop. So I go, oh my fucking God. I was floored. So then, like, I'm like, you know, a month or two sober, now just like starting to sprawl out and do my dreams. And so the guy goes, I remember he rolled up imaginary sleeves, the guy with the gynecomastia, and he goes, oh, you want to spar? Went super hard on this guy. The guy was obviously a talented guy, had a TV show at the time, and I don't see him much anymore. Went to town on the guy. Everybody laughed, so the guy did really well. And the guy goes, yeah, but you still have tits. Folded over the audience, dude. And so this guy turns bright red, and I'm like, oh my, dude, like, I don't know why I'm seeing this. If it, like, I like,
yeah,
maybe to say that,
point of this?
Yeah, like, yeah. Maybe that I wasn't crazy, and I really, because my mom would always say, oh, they're fine. And then I'd go play football, and I'd be like, hey, titty, you know, like, yeah. It was like, no, they're not fine. Oh, they look great. You're, it's in your head. So I maybe it was like, hey, this is real, and this is the danger that was heading for me. Should I have put myself out there in this capacity? So the guy did it a third time. Teed off on the guy again. Very funny. One of the best, you know, performers around town. The guy in the audience was just a nassat. He just waited and he goes, do I have to say it again? He's got tits. Dude, the applause break. His team, because it was an improv team and he was just doing the monologue, they came from backstage and physically removed him. And they go, hey, dude, it's time to go. We have to start the show. He's like, no, this guy came unraveled. That guy didn't do the rest of the show. And so they go, does anybody want to, hey, he's not going to be joining us. Does anybody want to come in and sub for the show? And I jumped on stage and went on stage and did a scene. And that was my first at UCB Theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Wow, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy sign from the universe.
It was crazy. And this is going to sound like absolute bullshit, but this is the truth. I'm trying to think if it is the truth, you know, cause it's so special to me, you know, I'm like, I had saw my heroin dealer. This was in Los Feliz. I had saw my heroin dealer while I was waiting in line. And he said, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. And I got sick to my stomach and wanted to throw up. And then I went into that show. I think that was the same day. I'm 99.9% sure, but it was 14 years ago and it was hazy, but that actually did happen. I started hanging out at the club a lot. And I think that was the same day.
Fuck.
Yeah. So I got so this guy got pulled out of there and couldn't perform the rest of the night. And I was like, you know, I'm sitting there. I still have like bandages. Like, I couldn't believe it.
I didn't have tits.
You should have just pulled your tits out. That would have been so good. I got tits too, motherfucker.
I got to take it and I'm taking your spot. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? I should talk. You know, it's so funny. I should talk about this more because it's helpful. Yeah, you know, because there's productive. Someone with tits that's going to blow their head. It almost killed me.
Really?
Dude, bro.
And hey, you like that.
You're a dude, like, go have tits. Go to all boys Catholic high school and go play fucking football. Or go play soccer. Shirts and skins. Huh. I wouldn't wish that on fucking my enemy.
Yeah.
If you wrote that into a script, you'd be like, this guy's about to go through hell. It was really tough. And you learn to navigate and, you know, I'm quick on my feet. I'm quick verbally.
Yeah.
Because if someone would look like that, I'd be like, oh, this guy's looking. So what's fucked up on him? What can I say? You know, it really honed those hyper defense skills.
It's crazy because you never really hear too much about like male body dysmorphia and shit like that. Yeah. Like, that's fucking wild. Well, Chris John used to have that as well. My best friend.
Really?
Yeah. It was from
roids.
Yeah. But he did it. It took it when he was younger, and it was like he did it the wrong way. But yeah, he had to get the
surgery.
It's like rocks underneath it, and it sticks
fucking
out.
Rocks.
I saw another guy like that on the weekend. He come up and he's like, "Hey, we met before, but his were like crazy, and it was from roids." And I was like, "Fuck, man!" Like,
and did he show him to you, or you just saw him?
No, he was shirtless. He was walking around.
Every once in a while you can see guys on the beach with it shirtless, and yeah. I'm like, "Bro, I hid in a cave. I hid under the blanket of heroin." Because yeah. Like, you're just rocking this on the beach, like.
What? I guess he just did. He's just like, you don't fuck it. Like, this is me. Like, wow. I have to back, but yeah, he like leaned over in front of me, and I sort of like hang a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, man! Like. But, like, fuck it, respect. What was the craziest shit that happened? Like, because obviously, it's fucking nuts when you're in that situation. You're in your karate suit, you got your boys. Did you ever get, like, knocked out? Did anyone ever, like, pull a knife? Like, I guess they couldn't, but...
I got punched pretty hard, but I was... Dude, I'm not a badass. So I did a good job of, like, going in there, you know, like, swinging a few times. Yeah. And then, you know, I punched a couple guys good, got punched good. But there was, like... You know, look at the clips, like, after we're done, look at some of the clips and you'll see, like, there's tough guys. There's super tough guys kicking the living shit out of each other, and I'm not that. And so I would go in there and just for show, I've surely got my ass kicked a lot, but I would go in and, like, throw a couple good ones and then run away. And it's usually, like, a group on one or two people on stage, and so it's not like you have to be a badass. But I did, so I went, like, the third show I went to, it's always the same situation. They bring a guy out, everybody boos him, or there's some kind of problem, and then they have like a bell sound. It goes ding ding and it starts, and I went to one where the guy ran out, started talking shit to someone in the crowd, someone just like I had, hopped over the little ditch, went on stage and knocked all of his fucking front teeth out. They just went across the studio, and then they stopped it, mopped it up.
Oh my God.
Women came out, danced to a band. A band played, and girls were doing salsa dancing. No, and they just started segment number two. And that's when I was like, holy shit.
This is real.
Wasn't even tripping. People weren't even tripping. Fucking teeth everywhere.
Wow.
So it's like that.
Fuck.
Yeah, dude. So I would go a lot, but then I wouldn't participate every time. Like, when I tell it on stage, I'd be like, oh, and then I was, you know, like, I got in there a couple good times, and then I would go and I would fight, but I would mostly just, it was like watching a bullfight. It was just like, wow. You know, you're going to this spectator sport. It's crazy. It's fucking, sometimes I'd get in and be the bull or get gored, but yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts. Any other crazy shit that went down?
I'm writing a book right now, and those are two scenes I'm writing in there. Like, I'm writing it. I'm like, oh, this is fucking crazy. I mean, I'm just...
It's actually nuts. Yeah,
I wrote two drafts of a book in quarantine, because everybody's like, dude, these should be in a book. So I actually wrote it, and I'm waiting. I took 6 months off, and so I'm waiting to write draft three. But as I'm just channeling, as I'm writing it, it's interesting, because even as I'm telling you this, dude, I just got out of my car. I was just feeding my infant a bottle, and I asked my wife, hey, can you mind if I go down and do a podcast with Abby? And she's like, no, you can just watch the baby when you get home. And so it's, I'm in a totally different world. So as I'm even telling these stories,
it just doesn't feel real.
I'm telling it as like I'm talking about someone else, because I'm just not, it's weird even doing it.
It's interesting. Your memory is so, like, you can remember it so clearly, like, even with dates and shit. I guess that's probably the benefit of being sober.
Yeah, well, a lot of these were I'm telling you the highlights and stuff that was seared into my mind. So yeah. Now what will happen is I'll go to Pasadena, where I'm from. It's not far from here. And I happen to, like, a lot of people come here from other places. So they're in LA, and whether they were somebody or did something in a different state. Well, I'm here, and people, you this fucker. So I run into people, and they'll tell stories about me and say stuff that, like, I'm like, oh my God, I did that. I don't even remember that. And this is how embarrassing that was. Just so,
wow.
You know, this guy used to do this, or this guy. So there's so much I don't remember, but you know, when I come on podcasts, like, I'm telling you the highlights these are the hits of a 10-year period. And they were so adrenaline infused that they were seared into my mind.
Do you have any, like, long-term health effects from doing that much gear?
No, you know what? I'm so lucky. I don't.
Really?
I'm so lucky. I don't. The thing with heroin is It slows your clock down. It preserves you, and you're just sleeping. So I was getting in all these crazy situations, but I was sleeping 18 hours a day. So it kind of like, I heard on a doctor, dude, there's a show called Loveline here back in the day, and someone called in. It was like, I'm an opiate addict, and or my boyfriend is an opiate addict. I'm so worried about his body. Should he ever quit this? And Dr. Drew was like, well, you know, you don't want to tell your boyfriend this, but after long-term opiate abuse, the body heals pretty quickly. And meth skedaddles you. Crack skedaddles you. Alcohol fucks you up. But there's something about opiates where it doesn't do – it'll kill you if you overdose on it, but it doesn't damage your body. There's probably some synapses. There's probably something, going on. I did – the worst thing that happened is I got these abscesses everywhere. I almost lost my arm because of a dirty needle. Because of dirty shit. So I was just shooting anything. So I would go down and get whatever someone had in their sock or their mouth in these little balloons, and I would shoot it. And then one day I was like, uh-oh. And I got these boils and under my armpit, all over my arm, and I touched one. This is so gross. And I lifted up my armpit. I touched one, and it was just like something out of Jurassic Park. It just sprayed the entire mirror, and our whole bathroom just smelled like tuna. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, I'm going to lose this arm. And so I started just taking a ton of omega-3, and I took like Physoderm. I like Googled like what to do, and my body just kind of like overrode it. But like that was, I was on my way if like I didn't treat it or didn't, that's how you lose an arm.
That's fucking wild.
I was down there one time. So when that happened, I was talking to my friend about it. And you go down and make these like little weird friendships down on Skid Row. So you'd be like, oh, you go down there every day. You meet, okay, this guy's down there buying crack, and you're both waiting on the thing. And this one junkie down there, old school, kind of like leather jacket, like old prison guy. He's like, man, this shit comes up, packed in mules from Mexico a lot of times, like in carcasses and shit. And there's fucking, he's like, dude, we all got these little critters in us. Did I ever tell you this? And I'm like, sit, bro, you're bummed. You're sitting there. You're waiting to get high. And you're like, dude, great. Like another consequence. And the guy goes, I'll show you. And he took his needle out, and he went into one of his veins, and he kept fishing around, and he popped it out. And there's a little squiggly parasite. He's like, we've all got this shit in our blood if we're shooting this shit. And I was like,
holy fuck.
I was like, oh my God. But,
wow.
Yeah.
So what's the Mexico story coming across the border?
Mexico story. I got arrested in Tijuana. The cops caught me, and I didn't have money to bail out. I watched them kill someone in front of me.
Holy fuck.
They put machine guns to my head. I said goodbye to my best friend, and I'll just end it with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you want him to come back and tell that story, drop us a comment. Let us know. I don't know about you guys, but I've been.
This is a really good episode.
This has been.
Yeah, I don't even know.
This has been crazy.
I'm a dad.
Oh, and please don't do drugs. Or
yeah,
it's not worth it, dude. Yeah. If you got a problem, there's solutions. You can't say oh, no one gets sober. Not true.
Yeah.
Look at me and Abby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't look at me.
I can tell. We'll be here.
Where can everyone find you?
I have my Instagram. It's at Steven Randolph 2 at STEVEN RANDOLPH 2. And on TikTok, I think comedian Steven Randolph on TikTok. I just got on TikTok. I've been having a blast on it. So I put a lot of stand up on
it. Yeah, he's killing it on TikTok.
Oh, really?
I posted one thing.
Videos
I was like,
got like 12 million views.
Yeah, I posted something. Just got 12 million. I got 100,000 followers. So now I got to go back out on the road to get more videos.
Get more content.
Yeah, I'll be in San Antonio. I'm doing Des Moines. I've got a ton of shows. We're doing a show May 28th in Huntington Beach. So
yeah.
Got a ton of stand-up. I'll post it all on my Instagram if you want to come see my stand-up. And I'd love to come back.
Please. Man. Yeah, for sure. Wow. Okay, thank you so much, bro. This has been
DM
crazy.
Me if you're... I'm married, so I don't want to see any girl tits.
Abby does.
DM these guys. If you got guy tits, I'm your guy. Yes. I'll help you with that.
Hell yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Awesome. Damn, bro. Thanks, thank you so much.